And I promise you, you know, you if we gain 6 young ladies at this age that want to serve the Lord forever, imagine what that will do. When they grow up and get married, and then their kids want to serve the Lord, you see, the little investments we give, it's nothing but good. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5. Thankful to be in church this morning. Amen. Thankful that God allowed us to be here, be praying for the ones who are not. There are many who are not going to be in. Some are out of town today, working, not going to be with us, but pray for them. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. We're going to start a study today on what is God's will for my life and how do I find that out? You know, each and every one of us that have been saved, God has a plan for your life. Amen. God has never saved anybody just for the idea of saving them and them to never do anything for God or to further the kingdom of God. I promise you, God has a design and a plan for your life. Man, woman, boy, or girl, it does not matter. God wants to use you. Amen. And if you do not know what it is that God wants you, let me tell you this, you're not alone. For years, I sat back and I thought in the back of my mind, I used to love going to camps and watching the preacher stand up and preach to teenagers. That was one of my favorite things to do. And I used to could kind of have this idea of thinking, you know, like, maybe I could do that someday. But I always had that little tug, you know, the devil's trying to fight that. No, you can't do that. That's not what God wants you to do. Listen, God wants to use you in a mighty way, whether it be working with children or knocking on doors or just a prayer warrior for somebody. You have no idea. That we used to go out on visitation and we'd take 2, sometimes 3, and man, a couple of us, you know, everybody don't like to talk to people. And listen, that's okay. God might not have given you that gift, but you know, while 2 people are talking, you could be in the background praying and binding the devil off that conversation that's happening up there, and the power's coming right from you, and the Holy Spirit's working through you. Amen. Listen, don't underestimate the power that God has given you. So let's look this morning and try to figure out just what is God's will for my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Lord, for your truth. Lord, I thank you so much for dying on the cross. I thank you for those who are here this morning. Lord, I pray, God, this morning for those that are not here. I pray, God, you'll give them a blessing. Lord, those that may be coming in the next hour, I pray, God, you'll bring them to us safely. God, I bind the devil off this place in the name of Jesus. He's not welcome here. I bind him off all these buildings, this whole property here this morning. Lord, we just want to hear from heaven today. Lord, I pray for the Sunday school teachers right now, as they're preparing to give your word to these precious young children that you've given to us. God, may we not fail them. I pray, God, for these young ladies who've done these baskets, Lord, that, Lord, you'll give them fruit, Lord, for their labor. And, Lord, just bless that in abundance, Lord. And, Lord, may we be able to get this sound stuff that we need, Lord, so we can further your kingdom here. God, I thank you for their willingness to serve. And, God, I just thank you for our church. Lord, I ask you now this morning to just cleanse me of sin. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to teach and preach with clarity. Lord, allow your people, Lord, not to hear me, but to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Ephesians 5:17, the Bible says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what, church, will of the Lord is. As we go through our spiritual journey, there are always those who would want to make God's will for our life a mystery. Yet in reality, that just does not make sense. If there's something that God has for us to do, and he really wants us to do it, then he will tell us what that something is. Amen. You know, God is not the author of what? Confusion. We know that if God has a plan for our life, what kind of God would he be to sit back and expect you to try to figure it out on your own? We're just a bunch of miserable failures. Everybody understand that, right? With God, though, we're everything. Through God, we are everything. The purpose of this lesson is to try to help us understand that God does have a will for our lives and that we need to be in his will and what you can know about his will. From Scripture, we learn that there are certain things that God wills for every person. These would constitute the basics and get us started in the right direction. Number one, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You're going to need your Bibles this morning. If you brought your Bibles to church, say amen. Amen. It's good. I hope you like them. I hope you like flipping through your Bibles. We're going to cover some Scripture this morning. I like using the Bible to show truth. I don't like you to believe what I have to say, I want to show you in the Bible. 2 Peter 3, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should," what, church? "But that all should come to repentance." We know, number one, that God has willed for all men to be saved. Now, I did not say that all men are going to be saved, but God's will was that all men were to be saved. And that, but now listen, how many know we can interfere with the will of God? You know, we hear these people say, "Well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen." Listen, you can interfere with the will of God. Amen. Listen, you can interfere with the will of God. God could say, "Hey, Brother Drew, I want you to preach the gospel." And today I could say, "I'm never preaching again." I could do that. Now, God could kill me. I could meet my appointed time pretty quick, but I could stop preaching today and never do it again. Everybody okay with that? I could do that. You could say, "Hey, I don't think I want to be married anymore." You could tell your wife, "Hey, I don't want to be married to you anymore." Now, would that be God's will? No, but could you do that? Could you go hire a lawyer? Could you get papers? Could you sign it? Could you pay the money and divorce? You could. Is that God's will? No. You could tell your children, "Hey, I'm done. I'm walking out on the family." Hey, it happens all the time, but it's not God's will. Right? You can interfere with God's will. We need to get away from this idea. "Well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen anyway." No, no, no. Stop believing that. God uses us as vessels to fulfill His will. He uses us, and He expects us to be obedient. And when we're obedient to Him, then His will can be fulfilled and can be accomplished. But we are supposed to be vessels of obedience. But how often are we the vessel that says, "Nah, God, not this time. I don't really have time for that." You know people like that. You've been like that. I've been like that. There's been plenty of times that God has given me opportunity to maybe witness to someone, and I just said, "You don't understand what I have going on today, do you, God?" Sorry, I'm going to mute my phone here before it starts ringing like it did back there the other week. "You don't understand what I have going on." Listen, God needs you to be obedient. God expects you to be obedient. And we know, number one, God wills that all men are to be saved. As basic as this may sound, if this area is not cared for, we will never know what else God has for us. You say, "What does that have to do with me being obedient?" Well, listen, God commands us as men and women, believers, to not hide the gospel. The Bible says when it's hid to them that are lost. Who are we to get saved? And just think that coming and sitting in the church pew and giving our tithes, and listen, all that stuff is good, and you're being obedient there. I'm not telling you not to do that. Please don't stop coming to church. Please don't stop giving. Listen, God wants you to do that too. But listen, when's the last time you told someone about Jesus? And not just expected them, "Well, if they're going to hear about Jesus, it's going to be from somebody else, not me." Hello? I don't want to ask you to raise your hands, but I would guess in just a crowd like this, that in this size, that there's probably someone in here who's never even led someone to the Lord. Listen, why would you want to live 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, die, go to heaven, and never win one soul to Christ? Why would you want to stand before God and say, "Everything you've done for me, I was so thankful for it, but I was so thankful that I've never told anyone else about it"? Folks, God's will is that all men are to be saved. God said He's going to lighten every man, yes, but He might have wanted to use you to lighten them. Now, don't get me wrong. He'll still lighten them, whether you choose to do it or not. He'll use somebody. But you know, when God, it's kind of like the story we preached a few weeks ago. Certain man, certain time, certain appointment, certain place. See, God knows who we are. And see, when He chooses people for us to intervene with, God is almost, it's almost like He already connected us. And He's going to use your story to relate to them. And then you give the gospel, and it's like, man, this is what God meant for this whole thing, right? Listen, but we'll never know unless we're obedient. Number two. All are to be baptized. All that are saved are to be baptized. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. This is why we put this as an ordinance. I mean, baptism is an ordinance of the local New Testament church. Now, is baptism essential for heaven? No, but it is essential for obedience unto God. Jesus himself got baptized, and I mean, if you read your Bible, you'll know that he had already left heaven. He'd already been there. Amen? And he was going back regardless. Matthew 28, verse number 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What's the next word? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." This is our first step of obedience in following Christ. If we are unwilling to follow the general specifications of his will, there's no need for him to reveal the specifics of his will to us. Can I say number three? All are to be spirit-filled. We saw that in Ephesians 5:17. Some may ask, what does that mean? Well, that's a good question. The spirit-filled life is not a manner of having the right gas in the tank. Listen to this. It is having the right person behind the wheel. Did you hear what I said? See, we're the gasoline. Y'all understand that? And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So it's all bad gas. Amen? Y'all understand that? But if God is driving the vehicle, and if he's piloting the ship or piloting the plane or piloting your life, folks, listen, we're going to go to the right place every single time if we're in submission to God. This type of life that you're now allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you, you are trusting him, and you're walking by faith regardless of what you see around you. This is just as much commanded of us as salvation. Sadly, many Christians never experience the joy of living a spirit-filled life. And folks, can I say, I don't claim to be perfect, but I can tell you this. 12, 13 years ago, I was a Christian, quote unquote. You know what I'm talking about. But this whole spirit-filled thing didn't mean much to me. I lived how I wanted to live. I listened to what I wanted to listen to. And in the next hour, I'll be honest, we're gonna preach on music this morning. The Lord's finally given me the freedom to address the music issue, and I think it's something that we need to address. I listened to what I wanted to listen to. I did the things that I wanted to do. I was still a Christian. I was still going to die and go to heaven. But there was no such thing as real joy. It was just kind of like church. I was like, oh, got to get up. Got to get my clothes on, get my suit and tie on, go to church. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I could sleep in this morning. Anybody ever have that thought on Sunday morning? Just about every one of us. But now, it's not like that. There's something different when you get that stuff out of your life that, by the way, shouldn't be there. Amen? When you get rid of those sins that so easily beset you, something changes. The Spirit of God takes over your life. And all of a sudden, preaching isn't boring anymore. All of a sudden, singing with other believers isn't just one of them things like, are we ever going to stop singing? Hey, this is how I felt. Why? Because I had other stuff in my life that was dominating my life, and God was just down here. And whose choice was that? My choice. Whose choice is it in your life? Your choice. Listen, the moment you decide that the sin, and by the way, you know it's sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no in-between. Disobedience, disrespect, all the stuff you've got in your life that you think you can live with and you'll get away. God's not going to let you get away with that stuff. That's not the kind of God we serve. He sent his son Jesus to die for those sins. Those sins have been paid for, but you don't have the freedom to just live how you want to. Amen. You ought to be living in submission to God. And why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to give him everything when he gave you everything? Anything and everything that he had to offer, he gave it to you. And I'll tell you, the moment that I got rid of those little things, and listen, it's not like I was out there cheating on my wife or abusing children. Folks, I'm talking about little things. Things I was putting into my body that I was relying on for stress relief. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody does it, right? But listen, here's the deal. What does this right here do for me? Well, nothing when I'm relying on that. Y'all all right? How about the music that I was constantly putting into my mind? Well, my music's not, but I can't wait to preach the message this morning. I'm so excited that God has finally given me the opportunity to preach this. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pick on all kinds of music, so just get ready. Okay, I'm going to pick on pop music, rap music, rock and roll, country music. Y'all all right? I'm going to pick on that too. I'm going to even read you some lyrics of some of the things that you're listening to and some of the music that you're letting your daughters and your sons listen to. And then you're going to think, why in the world did I let my kids listen to that? Or you're going to go out the door and you're going to continue to do it and you think that ain't a big deal. That's what I did for years, folks. And guess what? This spirit-filled thing, you'll go out, you'll be miserable. You'll walk around like this. You'll think, oh, Brother Drew's going to preach on this stuff again. He's preaching right at me. No, folks. The truth is, if you have something in your life that's in between you and God, you should desire to get rid of that. You should desire to be closer to the God who gave you everything. You should desire to be spirit-filled. You remember when Paul, he said, man, if I could just give you what I have, I would give it to you, but I can't do it for you. You know what I'm talking about? See, Paul realized these people were missing out on living a spirit-filled life. Folks, I don't know about you, but I like waking up and smiling. I like waking up, and listen, even when the devil tries to infiltrate, I like knowing, I like using the authority of the believer, and the devil, listen, he's going to try hard every single day to bring you down, but every single time, if you just use the Bible and the authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus, listen, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like knowing that I can continue in joy every single day. No matter what the circumstance may be. The devil's going to try to bring me down, but listen, just like Jesus, quote the scripture to the devil, folks, listen, he can't do anything about it. He's going to try. But joy is so much better than pain, isn't it? Joy is so much better than depression, isn't it? Joy is so much better than anxiety, isn't it? We're all to be spirit-filled. Can I say this? We're all to study His Word. Look at me. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We are all to study God's Word. All to study God's Word. You know how blessed we really are. You ought to take a moment sometime and read some stories about some Christians in some third world countries that aren't allowed to have any kind of Christian beliefs at all, and read the stories of the missionaries sitting in prison who got their Bibles ripped away from them, but as they got them ripped, they just ripped some pages out of the Bible and crammed them in their clothes, and as they're ridden to prison cells, they don't have the whole Bible, but they have a piece of the Word of God, and it's so precious to them. Hey, listen, some of you have the Bible sitting on your shelf at home. You never pick it up. It means absolutely nothing to you, and others wish that they could just have the whole verse that they could read, but oh, half the verse that they have, they read it every single day, and it's still piercing and sharper than any two-edged sword to them. Why? Because they love it and they use it. Why do we not love the Word of God? Why do we not open the Word of God? Why doesn't it mean something to us? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a very spoiled place. We take things for granted. Things are more important to us than God's Word. And can I say this, parents, listen to me. You make worldly things more important to you, you can forget your children serving God. You know, all right? I used to struggle with the idea of, you know, well, growing up I played a lot of sports, but I had rules. And here's the weird thing. They never scheduled ball games on Sundays and Wednesdays back in the day. You know why? Because that was church day. Nowadays, they don't even hesitate. This whole travel baseball thing. My goodness, I love baseball. And my son plays travel ball. He plays on Saturdays. And I can't tell you, for 2.5, 3 years now, his coaches say, why won't you just let Kaysen play on Sundays with us? I say, brother, hell will freeze over before Kaysen comes on that ball field on Sunday. Y'all all right? Hey, hell will freeze over before he goes on the ball field on Wednesday night. What if that Wednesday night that he's on the ball field, what if he wasn't saved? What if it was the Wednesday night that God was going to reveal to him the plan for his life? What if God had prepared the preacher just for him that night and God was going to speak to him and here he is off on the ball field somewhere? Folks, listen, you better prioritize where you have your family. When it's time to go to church, you need to be in church. That's what the Bible says. That is not Drewology. That's the Bible. You better start prioritizing where you got your family. Because when you're crying that your children are out in the world and they're not serving God, you're going to remember. It's because you did not prioritize God. All they're going to do is take what you do in moderation and do it in excess. Y'all all right? That's what they're going to do. So if you want your children to serve God, you better serve God. Nothing should take preeminence. And I understand if you're sick. Listen, God understands that. But when you choose to not go to church because sports are more important, folks, you think there's going to be baseball in heaven? No. Basketball? No. I said it before, if you don't like church, you ain't going to like heaven. Y'all all right? Uh-oh. Everything all right? Oh. All right. Pray for Jace. I think he's sick again. Listen. It is God's will that we study His Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show, I love this next word, thyself. Who's that? Me. Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason we study is to not impress our peers, but rather it is to show ourselves approved unto God. If we are not spending time in the Bible, then we are missing what God has already told us. Study the Word, then share the Word. God will speak to you through His Word. Do not neglect it. Look at 1 Timothy 4:13. Do not neglect God's Word. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to what, church? Doctrine. How long should we do that? He said, till I come. And the last time I remember, Jesus ain't come back yet, has he? If he was back, I'd be out of here. I'd be out of here. Number five, did you know that all are to be thankful? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give what? Thanks. In everything we are to give thanks. Ephesians 5:19, you can look at that on your own time. Gratefulness should be a mark of Christianity. Unthankfulness is a characteristic of the last days. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You're right there in Timothy. Flip over just a couple of scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Unthankfulness is a characteristic of the last days. Hey, folks, you think we live in an unthankful world? You know, you just go talk. Go talk to my generation and below, down to age about 8 or 9. And you'll realize there's a generation there. And you know where it all started? Hey, I made the mistake of giving my kids these things. Neither one of my older boys have them anymore. You know why? Because they messed up. Ain't none of your business what they done. But they messed up. But you know what I did when they messed up? I went and told them sorry, first of all, for ever giving it to them. And then I took that thing away. And guess what? They ain't getting it back till they pay their own phone bill. Why? Because they don't need it. They've proven that. They can't control themselves on it. The devil is too much temptation. But see, It was my senior year of high school when the Razr came out. Anybody ever have a Razr iPhone or a Razr phone? Not an iPhone. The iPhone wasn't even around when I graduated. And I wasn't allowed to have a phone in high school. And not even a little flip phone. My grandparents said, "You don't need that." I said, "Why? Everybody's got a flip phone." "Well, not you." Folks, we didn't even have internet in our house. I mean, I didn't have cable TV. I grew up watching Wishbone for cartoons. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Channel 2 on Saturday mornings was the only time I ever saw cartoons, you know? I grew up outside, in the dirt, in the fields, working, playing outside. I didn't grow up with these. I wasn't allowed either. Didn't have that. Definitely didn't grow up looking at a computer. My grandma would have beat the daylights out of me. Y'all all right with that? But here's the problem with this generation. It's all automated now. This generation of people from my age on down, they don't have to think. Listen, if you want to figure something out, listen, I can rebuild an engine and watch an hour YouTube video and rebuild an engine now. I didn't have to think about nothing. Now, I didn't learn nothing because all I did was watch this guy do it, then I did it, and that's it. I couldn't do it again because I didn't have to figure it out. I didn't have to do my research and read and study it. You know what I'm talking about? Folks, you can do anything now. All you got to do is ask the phone, and it'll tell you how to do it. There's a YouTube mechanic. You can fix anything. Thank God for the YouTube mechanic because he saved me a lot of money over the years. But what I'm saying is, we don't have to think no more. Folks, be careful. Parents, be careful. Make your kids be kids. Let them go outside and play. Let them go use their imaginations and build forts and have a good time and get dirty and make messes. You understand what I'm saying? But give them a hammer and nails and let them build something. Don't let them come inside and just sit down and focus on a screen all the time. I made that mistake. It's bad for them. It's terrible. Turns them into spoiled, rotten brats. Thanks, man. Hey, I'm telling you, these are some mistakes that I've made that I'm going to not make any more moving forward. And here's the real problem with the mistake. Once you make the mistake, now you have to battle the children that you made the mistake with. No. Hold on just a minute. First of all, this is gonna light some of you up. They live with you. You do not live with them. Y'all all right with that? They don't pay the bills. You pay the bills. I got a preacher friend of mine. Maybe I'll have him down one day. His name's Larry Brown. And he preaches this message on what's wrong with the home. And every time he preaches a message, he goes, and this is hilarious, he spends his own money on a $200 flat screen TV, and he places it right here. And he's got him a big old mall right here next to it. And about halfway through the message, he says, "You want to know what's wrong with the home? I'm talking about brand new TV." He picks up that mall, and he starts preaching on all the sins that come out of that TV. And he takes that mall, and he bashes that TV to death every single time. Hey, what if, and again, guilty, what if the time spent around that thing was reverted to this thing? What kind of daddies would we be? What kind of moms would we be? What kind of children would we be raising? Y'all listening? We can binge watch show after show. We can sit for 3 hours and watch a football game. Done it many times. And nothing wrong with that. But when that takes up more of your time than this does, now it's a problem because you've put something over God. And folks, no matter how you look at it, it's wrong. You should not be spending more time watching stuff that's carnal than you do reading your Bible. It's all about this. What do you really enjoy? Amen? What do you really enjoy? We're going to go over one more. Number 6, all are to be sanctified or set apart for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7, you can read that. You write that down. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7, we are separated from the things of this world. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18, sanctified for whatever purpose God has for us means that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's look at this verse, Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, or I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, what's the next word? Conformed to this what? World. So folks, if we are, oh, I can't wait to preach next hour. If we are fitting in with the world, are we conforming to the world? Hey, if we're taking the world's sound and putting decent words to it, are we fitting in with the world? Are we or not? Yes, because it appeals to my flesh. Folks, listen. The Bible says, be not conformed to this what? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. That's part of your soul, right? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, it's time that we as Christians understand that we are set apart. And we should live like we are set apart. Amen? We'll pick up here in a couple weeks. I want you to take some time. I'm going to pray. We'll dismiss you. You've got about 20 minutes. Take a look at the baskets in the back. Encourage others to do the same. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, God, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you again for dying for us. Lord, I ask you now to bless us in this next hour. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. Lord, bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.